It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and we're seeing a lot of force around here right now. It's a more subtle coercion, which I think is even more difficult. But it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. If something is a good idea, then it doesn't need force to implement it. And I want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I want to say thank you to each and, you, and every one of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. You were made for this time. So today, strive for excellence. And take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Producer Steve, happy Tuesday.
Yeah, okay, I'm on board. After yesterday, I'm on board.
Yeah, you were having a Monday with the technology stuff, right?
Well, these boards, I'm grateful for the new technology that Crawford has provided, but this board had a mind of its own yesterday morning.
I hate that when that happens. But speaking of a mind of our own, we'll be talking with Jen Hewlin at the end of this break. And you know her. She's an entrepreneur. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. And then we'll go through some headlines, Bill of the Day, and then Bob Boswell. He is the CEO of Laramie Energy. And we are seeing how hydrocarbons help us thrive and flourish and help us live healthier lives. Between the Texas freeze and then the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, I hope people are waking up and saying, wait a minute, this drumbeat, this coercion, this carrot, and then the stick that PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are using to move us out of our mobility, the personal vehicle that we have is just astonishing. And I'm hoping, Steve, that people are starting to pay attention. And Colorado is at the tip of the spear on this fight.
Well, the two things, situations that you just mentioned between the pipeline being shut down and certainly the cold snap throughout Texas, they are attention getters, that how easily your life can be disrupted by this thing that you take for granted day in and day out. So let's be a little bit more aware. I mean, those things, I mean, who can control the weather? And, the nefarious people out there shutting down pipelines, another thing that needs to be guarded against. But we have a couple of things here in the package this morning that are, these are politicians that are going to get in your face and basically shut you down as well.
Yes, and we saw that with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. These people, and that's the thing with the radical, activist, regressive left, is they say what they know people want to hear, and they do the opposite. However, on the conservative side, those of us that want to conserve this American idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, we have messaging challenges, unfortunately. It's, for some reason, it's easier to sell free stuff. Socialism, people think that socialism is all about free stuff. That is just the carrot. There's force that comes in behind it. They ultimately have to have workers. The problem is with socialism, that the government basically through owning production, that they keep most of the fruits of your labor instead of you getting to keep most of the fruits of your labor. And what we're and how they're doing this now, Steve, it's more subtle, but it's through one of the things that you have really nailed down, and that is through excessive taxation and unpredictable taxation. And an example is you getting us, me getting, everybody's getting their assessments on their homes. Now, you're not moving out of your home, right? Because where are you going to move in Colorado right now? If you are going to move out of your home, if you're going to sell it, though, you certainly need to call Karen Levine if you're looking for a home. Remax Alliance.
Nice.
That number is 303-877-7516. But so many people are staying put. But what is happening is the assessed valuation is going up because, as Randall O'Toole has said, PBIs have put in these urban land boundaries where we can't build more homes. So supply, demand, the price goes up, but then guess what? So does your assessed valuation and so does your taxes, and you didn't have any say in that whatsoever.
Zero. And like I think mentioned yesterday, what is this process where you push back?
You challenge it.
Well, this will be the first time because, you know, the second half of the form, if you tear it off and it's already set up to be mailed back in, I'm going to challenge for the first time because this is nuts.
Okay, you keep us surprised on how that's going.
Well, again, doesn't it get annoying? They're playing a game on paper that when you turn it around and run it, write it out to the end, costs you real money every year.
Good point. They do it on paper. It costs you real money. Would love to have you join us for our first Salon Series web event. We will be doing live events and web events. And our first web event is this Thursday. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. The cost is $5 plus a $1 processing fee. You can go to my website, kimmunson.com, to purchase that. The event is Candid COVID Conversations. Ramey Johnson, Lakewood City Councilwoman, is my co-host on this. Our panelists are Dr. Jill Vecchio, Matt Durkin, Sue Kinfield, and Priscilla Ron. And interestingly, we're starting to have some haters on this, Steve, which is pretty interesting. One of our people that I'm working with got a really hateful email about, he said, I went and looked at her site. She's a right-wing nut. And how on earth can you be working with her? And I'm kind of like, that guy obviously has no intellectual curiosity. And that is one of the reasons why we're doing Candid COVID Conversations. And I said to Zach, I said, well, at least if he wants to hate us, he has to spend $6 to do it.
Okay. When the, you know, life gives you lemons, make lemonade, I guess.
There you go. Let's go to our quote for today, and then we'll, when we come back after we talk to Jen, we'll come back and go through the bill of the day. But our quote for today, I never knew this guy. Steve, was he in your class by any chance, Oliver Ellsworth?
Stop.
He was an American lawyer, judge, politician, and diplomat. He was a framer of the United States Constitution, a United States Senator from Connecticut, and the third Chief Justice of the United States. Additionally, he received 11 electoral votes in the 1796 presidential election. He was born in 1745 and he died in 1807. And again, this is Oliver Ellsworth, and this is pretty heady, but I thought it was interesting. Liberty is a word which, according as it is used, comprehends the most good and the most evil of any in the world. Justly understood, it is sacred next to those which we appropriate in divine adoration. But in the mouths of some, it means anything which enervate a necessary government, excite a jealousy of the rulers who are our own choice, and keep society in confusion for want of power sufficiently concentred to promote good.
You know, those guys in the 18th century, they sure had great vocabularies.
Oh, there's words there that...
Well, okay, enervate, I had to go and look it up, but basically neutralize is a good substitute word.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty good. I know that's pretty long, it's pretty heady, but I found that super interesting.
I wonder what Ben Martin think of that.
Well, we're going to get to talk to him soon, so we'll have to ask him about
that. We'll have to throw that quote at him and tell him.
See what he has to say about
it. Ask him what he has to think. I think, you know, Ben is such a, what's the right word? I mean, he just adores the Founding Fathers, so He would have much to say.
He will, and most definitely. So, hey, before we get over to Jen Hewlin, I want to give a shout out to one of my great sponsors. That is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And I know the Avs played last night. I don't know if they won or not, but for sure they're in the playoffs. And a great place to get together with friends. Step back from all this craziness that's going on and enjoy a game. They have all kinds of specials, happy hours, lunch specials. Check out my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters icon, and that'll bring up all their specials. And again, thank you to them. They sponsor both of my shows. We're going to, again, talk to one of my great sponsors, and that's Jen Hewlin. Before we go to break, Jen Hewlin is on the line. You know her. She's an entrepreneur. She's also owner of Water's Edge Winery, which is located right here in Centennial, Colorado. And Jen Hewlin, things are changing, yes, a bit here in Colorado. Things are opening up. Or what's your experience right now? What are you seeing?
Well, Kim, we are open as we have always been. But yes, I'm starting to see more places following suit and allowing people to come in without masks on and basically, you know, kind of moving back toward a freedom stance, which is, it's got me hopeful. But as always, Water's Edge Winery, we always value freedom and choice as we have done all along. So not much is changing for us.
Well, and it is odd that because some government official or some bureaucrat says it's okay, that now it's okay. But that's a whole nother discussion for sure. What's some of the specials you have going on right now, Jen?
Well, actually, we are doing, because of Cinco de Mayo earlier this month, we have been doing Mexican flair. So our specials menu is deconstructed nachos. We have a Baja salad, street tacos, and a tortilla soup that is to die for. Mm. And I'm actually cooking in the kitchen this week. Chef D is on a well-deserved vacation. And we have hired a new chef. His name's Ernesto.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, it's been a while since I've been over, and I've got to get over and see you guys because I miss you. But Water's Edge Winery, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Well, you can call us at the winery, and that's 720-381-6663. Or anything on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram. Everything that's new and happening, I usually post on social media because it's quick and easy. But one thing I wanted to point out, the reason we hired the new chef, and A, it's really hard to find people right now. So a little public service announcement to your people. If you're going out to eat and the service is a little slow or your food takes a minute to come out, please, I'm asking you to be patient. The restaurant industry has been decimated, and it is impossible to find new employees right now. So many of us are working on skeleton crews. So again, we just ask you to be patient and sit back and enjoy yourself. You're out in free space in Colorado, right?
That's
but,
for sure.
Yeah, so you can see what's going on our social media and what we've got happening, but we're planning on starting to reopen for lunch now, so
Yay.
That's why we hired Ernesto. Yeah, so getting back to our pre-COVID hours, it's not happening just yet because the chef's out of town, but when he gets back in, we will be going 11 a.m. through 9 p.m. during the week, and then we'll extend our hours till 10 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays like we used to. We're really excited about this.
Oh, Jen, I'm so excited as well. So, Jen Hewlin, thank you so much. That website's wewdenver.com, wewdenver.com. And Jen, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Producer Steve, I walked in and there is an absolutely gorgeous flower arrangement here. It is very patriotic. It is red, white, and blue. And it is from Tom and Mary Goodfellow. And you know, Tom Goodfellow is the founder of U.S. Constitution Week. And he said, thank you for we talked about them last week, what's going on up there. They're going to be, this is the 10th annual U.S. Constitution Week. And it's Constitution Day is September 17th. So it's wrapped around that particular date. And last night, I ran into somebody who flew Chinook helicopters. And I said, what's the chances of, I know that they're working on a flyover with some other aircraft. And I said, what about getting a flyover for U.S. Constitution Week? So maybe they'll get two. I'm going to go to work on that, Steve. Wouldn't that be cool?
You're going to need air traffic control out over that little town.
Yes, yeah, that's for sure. And so anyway, be making your reservations because it's going to be a big week up there. And it's gorgeous. Grand Lake is just such a little slice of heaven. But let's go to our bill of the day. And this is bipartisan. And it's House Bill 21, 1027. And it's Representatives Larson and Roberts and Senators Bridges and Priola. Now, Steve, you remember that during the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, that there were a lot of really heavy-handed things that happened. But one of the things that they did do more on the freedom side is they said that you could have alcohol, you could buy alcohol for takeout, which it seems like I'm not sure that government should be involved in making those decisions anyway. But House Bill 21-1027, it's continue alcohol beverage takeout and delivery. The bill summary says Colorado law authorizes certain license holders, again, license. We got to be talking about that because when there's a license, they can grant it and they can take it away. But anyway, Colorado law authorizes certain license holders who normally offer alcohol beverages for consumption on the licensed premises to offer takeout and delivery of alcohol beverages. This authorization repeals on July 1, 2021. This bill removes the repeal and to continue the authorization until July 1 of 2026, except that manufacturers who have a sales room may continue to deliver alcohol beverages only until January 2, 2022. Current law limits the amount of alcohol beverages that may be sold for delivery or takeout. The bill changes these amounts, can you believe this, from 750 milliliters to 15, blah, 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 blah. And then it says the following licenses may attach to an area of a tavern, hotel, brew, distillery, blah, 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 blah. You know what? How about just let it just happen? I mean, you have these dates and you have all that. I mean, even though it's kind of a freedom thing and that's why Patty put it on there, it still is a lot of rules and regulations. I mean, it's kind of good news that we have a little bit of freedom coming out of something down there at the State House, but they still have all kinds of regulations wrapped around it, Steve.
It makes me, I mean, we all have memories of the last, you know, that were, you know, put on in our minds that we cannot forget over the last 15 plus months. But one of them, remember their rush to determine essential and non-essential business?
Oh, yes.
And one of the first things that, you know, screw-ups was, well, liquor stores and dispensaries were non-essential. And one of the news-gathering organizations sent up their helicopter over some liquor stores downtown, and the line was not just out the door, it was around the block. And someone said, well, wait a minute, we better mark these as essential.
Because it looked like the lines, and the free market was saying it was essential, huh? I appreciate the fact that they're still kind of trying to move towards freedom, but my gosh, And it's really none of government's business. And they're all over these things. But anyway, good for everybody from trying to take at least a small step towards freedom. Let's go to that second headline there that Patty has pulled. This is from Complete Colorado. And that is Governor Polis is pushing a mandate on employers to regulate workers' commutes. Rulemaking bypasses the legislature. And so he goes over to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and is proposing to implement new regulations that would force companies in the Denver Metro North Front Range area with more than 100 employees. Now, do you think a lot of people are going to keep 99 employees instead of 100? They're not going to hire. But anyway, to create an employee transportation reduction plan. And this is part of the ambitious 2019 law that requires a 26% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2025 and 90% reduction from 2005 levels to by 2050. Now, let's think about it. Why did they choose the year 2005, Steve? And wasn't that before we had a whole bunch of growth? So they want to bring more and more people into the Front Range. But yet we want to achieve goals that the goal is way back in 2005. Why is 2005 the magic number, Steve?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I'd have to sit down and think through this. This thing has got so much detail in it, and it's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Well, and so what do we do about this? We actually have to do something in 2022. Governor Polis is up for re-election at that time. Now, my understanding is he's not filed to run for re-election yet, but the field, they're starting to have a field over on the Republican side. Greg Lopez is running for governor in 2022, and the governorship is a very important position because the governor is the one that actually controls all of these different bureaucracies like CDPHE. And so 2022 is right around the corner, and we need to go to work to make sure that Governor Polis is a one-term governor.
Amen. You know, as I read through this, this is a classic illustration of what we say. Every time we tear into one of these bill of the day things, it suggests another organization, group, committee, fill in the blank, you know, what I'm trying to say here in terms of the growth of government. Look at that second paragraph. CDPHE is a cabinet-level state agency that falls under the purview of Governor Polis. The new regulations will be implemented under the authority of Colorado Air Quality Control Commission, another organization, which is controlled by Polis appointees. So,
right, and they're all bureaucracies. They're unaccountable and they're unelectable. So we need to peel this back. Who is accountable and who is elected? And that is the governor. And we need to put in place a governor that will start to reduce these bureaucracies and put in place people that care about people. They use this whole air thing so that they can control us. I mean, look outside. Don't you remember when we used to have a brown cloud here? We have done so much to clean the air up here in Colorado. And that's why we're going to be talking with Bob Boswell in segments 3 and 4. But if they were really, really serious about this, they would be putting pressure on China, which is China and India, which are polluting like crazy because they want to move from being third world countries to first world countries. Their people, they want to get out of poverty. And the best way to do that is with hydrocarbons. So here they are over there. They don't have clean coal plants like we do. They haven't done all the technology with our natural gas like we have. And it's a blind eye to that. This is all about control. So 2022, my friends, that is where we need to make a change.
Two things that popped up again that maybe summarize this whole thing. Who is the quote? Patrick McConnell, coalition director for the Colorado chapter of Americans for Prosperity, says legislating through rulemaking process is not the way to go about this. It needs transparency and accountability. This is something they should put through the people's elected representatives. And then finally, CDPHE is essentially farming out to large companies enforcement of something they cannot do on their own, and that is to tell people they can't drive their own cars to work.
And freedom of mobility, let's break that down just a little bit more, Steve. And that is, yesterday, I went up to Fort Collins or Windsor, and we had quite a rainstorm, which was, first of all, it's great because we can use the rain. But I was, super grateful that I was in my own personal vehicle, that I was not standing out on some train platform or by a bus stop waiting for public transportation. A, it would have been super uncomfortable. But B, what about safety? Again, we take a look at this agenda, and over here we have this radical progressive activist left is letting people out of prison and letting people out of jails, not because of good behavior, but because they want to let them out. And so we're having more criminals on the street. We've seen that violent crime in Denver is up 50%. So do you want to be standing out there waiting for a train or a bus instead of in your personal vehicle? And with all this crime out there, and they want you to walk around a lot. They talk about walkable neighborhoods. Well, if your neighborhood isn't safe, you may not want to walk around in it, Steve.
Well, we go into details here of what they're trying to do, again, accomplishing, telling workers at these companies how to get to work. We've discussed it before. Okay, you get the closest light rail stop, and it's still 6 blocks to your workplace. And you're working a swing shift. So you come in at 3 in the afternoon, but you're going to be going home at 11. You still want to walk that 6 blocks back to the light rail station?
Excellent point. And so that is another thing that they've been wringing their hands on, is they call it the last mile. They want to get people on these trains, but they want you to be living within a mile of this public transportation. How do we do that? Well, then you've had different cities run by Republicans that have said, oh, well, we're going to give passes. We're going to pay for Uber, Lyfts, or whatever. But yet, remember that under this Senate Bill 260, that they're going to actually increase the fees on your Uber and Lyft rides. I mean, it's a very, very complicated web that they weave.
And then this other quote, or not quote, but stat you just read off about the crime rate. I'd like to hear Michael Hancock's explanation behind that. He's another master at weaving words, but what could he possibly say that could make that, you know, palatable?
I don't know. Again, we were talking yesterday about the gyrations and the gymnastics that they're going through to try to get around being accountable to us, the people. And it is pretty astonishing. One other thing you and I were just kind of chuckling about, and that is that Colorado drivers could use a coach to get them to buy more EVs. And it says, Julia Morafisic, I think, likes to take the EV curious to the parking lot at the National Center for Atmospheric Research on Table Mesa Road above Boulder and demonstrate her car's smart summon mode with an all-electric Tesla, which those are pretty expensive, and also there's an income tax credit on that, so that means people that are driving around in a Tesla aren't paying income tax, some of their income taxes on that. The driver can stand at the curb and hit a button on, and let me just interject. We always talk about free market. I do understand that the Tesla car, it's a pretty cool car. However, the carrot on that is the income tax credit, both on the Fed and the state level. How about take away the income tax credits and let it compete in the free market? Okay. So, it says, with an all-electric Tesla, the driver can stand at the curb and hit a button on the key fob, and the parked car, with no one at the wheel, backs itself out and comes to the waiting driver. But not all of the other drivers are impressed or titillated by the electric ghost ship docking itself at the curb. In fact, some get so irate when the ghost Tesla passes them slowly in the parking lot that there are all too real profanity persuades that Mervasic keeps quiet and stops promoting EVs for a moment. Just think about it, Steve. If everybody gets off of work
at quitting time,
and everybody calls their car and it drives around really slowly, can you imagine, first of all, what the parking lot looks like? And we're going to talk with Bob Boswell about the fistfights at the gas pump. Can you imagine what would happen at quitting time at the office?
Well, we anticipate those types of situations out on the roads in terms of traffic jams and whatnot, but you can't even get out of the parking lot without a traffic jam.
Yes, let's really think this through, my friends. Hey, let's go to break. When we come back, Bob Boswell, he is the CEO of Laramie Energy, and we are seeing that, and we've taken it for granted, that hydrocarbons really help us live thriving, prosperous lives, healthier lives. And with this assault, it's been very subtle through policy, shutting down or trying to shut down our oil and gas industry. But Mother Nature down in Texas has shown us, when they had the big freeze, how much we appreciate hydrocarbons. And then the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, which I think it provides about 45% of the fuel on the East Coast, we realize how important it is to, first of all, shore up our cybersecurity, but also not having fuel really affects people's lives. So we'll be right back with Bob Boswell.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening, and thank you to those of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable, and excessive taxation, or fear. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. And we're seeing a lot of force being used here in Colorado particularly. We're at the tip of the spear regarding all of the craziness regarding public policy. In some ways, I feel like we are trying to out-California California. And a lot of that is happening in the energy sector. And with the big deep freeze that Texas had earlier this year, where the wind turbines froze up and then electricity was not abundant, and we saw that actually that there is some dependency on electricity regarding some of the natural gas pumps. It was a mess. Let's just say it was a mess in Texas. And Mother Nature has shown us there that hydrocarbons really help us live thriving, prosperous, healthy lives. But then we had something new that happened just this last week, and that was the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline out on the East Coast. And there were reports of people getting in fist fights at the gas station. I guess they're not all in that together, Steve, if they're certainly in fist fights. And then we're starting to see $3 a gallon gas, which that's up 30-40%. And that really affects people as well. So I wanted to talk with Bob Boswell. He is a sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. Greatly appreciate that. He's the CEO of Laramie Energy. Bob Boswell, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kim. Good morning.
And Bob, I've seen, you know, so many of these different signs. We're all in this together. But apparently at a Maryland gas station, they weren't all in it together because they got in a fist fight over their fuel. And I found that pretty interesting. Bob, what's your comments on that?
Well, I think it's just indicative of what happens when people run short of energy, gasoline being a primary transportation fuel and the most likely transportation fuel going forward, just simply because of its transportability and those sorts of things. And this was a cyber attack totally unrelated to refining capacity or anything else. It shows the vulnerability we have in our pipeline systems and our transportation fuel system. But it, you know, more than that, it demonstrates people's reactions to not having access to energy. And I think that's one of the issues that we are facing today as a nation. If we have some of these ideological aspirations on carbon-free fuel, and today there's not a technology that at scale would accomplish the complete replacement of transportation fuels. And you're seeing as well in Michigan, the governor there is trying to stop the pipeline that transports crude oil into Michigan out of Canada. And the Canadian government's intervening. It's a large source of supply for refineries, and she's trying to stop it on the basis that a portion of it goes under the Great Lakes and it could leak. Well, that it hasn't leaked. There's no issues associated with it. It is a risk at some point in time, which that risk can be averted, and the pipeline company is willing to do it, yet she wants to stop it completely from flowing right now, which would have severe repercussions. So it's just more or less another attack on fossil fuels unnecessary.
Well, and Bob, let's think about this. Again, we have, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are trying to use policy to shut down an industry. But let's say you're an oil and gas producer in Canada, and the governor of Michigan is not going to allow your product to come to market in Michigan, which is going to hurt the people in Michigan. But it's an ideology that they want people to be moving to electric vehicles, which makes us more dependent on China. But realistically, let's think about this. Is Canada just going to no longer produce that crude, or are they going to look for other places for that market? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out they're going to look for other places for that market, correct?
Well, that's absolutely true. It's a fungible product, and they can move it in other directions. This happens to be a very significant large pipeline. It's significant enough that the government of Canada is intervening against this governor's mandate to stop the pipe or the crude from flowing through this pipeline. It has an impact on U.S. citizens, has impact on Canadian citizens. This is something that fuel can go someplace else, or that crude oil.
Well, and China, India, they are hungry for fossil fuels, and they are not super concerned about pollution. At least that's my understanding. I think you gave us some statistics last time, Bob, if I remember right, but they're working to get all kinds of coal-fired plants up and going. And here, over here in America, we have PBIs that are using public policy to shut down our coal-fired plants, our natural gas exploration, our oil exploration, and try to move us to something that's unreliable, where they're hungry for reliable, efficient, abundant, and affordable energy, Bob.
Well, they're focused on quality of life and economic growth. We seem to have lost sight of that for our population here. There are people that have these views that we can be carbon-free and that carbon is a toxic element in the atmosphere, when in fact it's part of nature. As I've mentioned earlier, it's part of photosynthesis. It's nature's fertilizer, and today we're at about 400 parts per million CO2. The Earth dies at 100. At 1,000, agriculture prospers. So we've got a long way to go. And they look at this as global warming. Well, CO2 in the atmosphere only will warm the Earth to about 2 degrees. That's the maximum. It goes asymptotic after that, and you've got linear projections, which don't equate with the science that people are using to try to put impose these different limits on CO2 and the use of fossil fuels. It's just the wrong science and the wrong policy.
Well, I've always wondered how on earth they can tell us what the temperature is going to be in 100 years, when sometimes they can't get the weather right the next day. I just can't quite figure that out. Bob, we talked about this in earlier in the show. And Governor Polis is pushing a mandate on employers to regulate workers' commutes. And it's a rulemaking, and it's bypassing the legislature, although the legislature probably would endorse this. But what I found so interesting, when I was on city council, I could never figure this out, the benchmark that they are wanting us to reduce, a 2019 law requires a 26% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2025 and a 90% reduction from 2005 levels by 2050. Couple of things on that. First of all, Bob, why is 2005 the magic number? And they're pulling a number which is before Colorado's had significant population growth. So they want to, we have more people coming in. We use a benchmark from way before that. It seems like it's setting us up for failure. I don't see how we could ever hit that benchmark. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think they are doing this deliberately. And you know, and the approach from government is to mandate and put regulations as opposed to incentivize. You know, and frankly, greenhouse gas emissions come from a variety of sources. The production of methane is one. We can solve the greenhouse gas emission on the production of methane, and we're doing it as an industry, and that our emissions that relate to the production of natural gas have fallen and will continue to fall. There's emphasis and oversight on that. And we've had you know, a number of regulations put in to, related to greenhouse gas emissions, nitrous oxide, different components that come naturally along with production of gas. And we're reducing those significantly. These are actually small amounts. I mean, as we know, cattle produce methane or greenhouse gas emissions, so it's from a variety of sources. I don't think we need to punish the cattle industry, but I do think we can put incentives in on industrial processes that help reduce that.
And Bob,
they're setting a low bar to try to get judges against, and that's not right.
It really isn't. And through creativity and innovation, we can solve these problems. But that's not what they want to do. You take a look at hydraulic fracturing. I remember years ago when they said that we're going to run out of energy, that we're not going to have fossil fuels. And under the Trump administration, because of the creativity and innovation in the oil and gas industry, we had actually become energy independent, which not only gave us affordable and reliable and efficient and abundant energy, but it also helped from a geopolitical standpoint as well, where we were not reliant on the Middle East for our energy. It changed things significantly. Your comment on that, Bob?
Well, I think you can see the effects of bad policy in the first 100 days of the new administration. Look at what we're doing on the border. We open up the border. We've got a border crisis. We're working with Iran again, where we had given them significant amounts of money and an agreement for them to stop nuclear work. Now that's reneged. Iran's empowered. You're looking and seeing the Hamas attacking Israel, who's been a strong ally of ours. It's just, you know, these policies that have been put in are all causing crises in the first 100 days of this new administration. So that's just so evident worldwide. And I hope it reflects in the next election that we need to change these policies.
Well, most definitely. And if we had not had the Trump administration, we were on that trajectory. And you mentioned Iran receiving all of that money. That was under the Obama administration. And so we took a stop there, and we saw leadership where if we reduce rules and regulations, if we reduce taxes, then that puts in place, and also that we would deal with the bad guys with strength. We actually were thriving and prospering, and in just 100 days, seeing this all turned around, It's really concerning to me, Bob. I tell you what, let's go to break. I'm talking with Bob Boswell. He is the CEO of Laramie Energy. He is a partner, sponsorship partner of the Kim Munson Show. We're talking about how hydrocarbons make us healthier, how we can thrive and prosper. And we're seeing this with the big Texas freeze as well as the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline. We'll be right back with Bob Boswell.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. You can buy your tickets to our panel discussion, Candid COVID Conversations, which is a web event this Thursday night. You can buy those at the website, kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Bob Boswell, you are CEO of Laramie Energy. And the American producer, what has happened with hydraulic fracturing? And that is through creativity and innovation, not force, but creativity and innovation. We can solve these problems. But when we do that, that doesn't give the power to these PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties. And these elections really do matter. We're seeing that with just this first 100 days in the Biden administration.
Well, that's exactly right. And, it's fossil fuels, whether in the form of coal, oil, or gas, are our most productive, energy-dense type of fuels. And with that, it underlines our quality of life and our economic capacity. If you can control energy, it gives you the levers to control other things. So it's become a big policy argument. Fossil fuels have been used as that. It's a false argument, but it's one that's being made. And there's a lot of people that, have been joined the fervor behind the environmental movement that is important in some ways, that we keep a balance and we have these challenges to solve problems that related to concerns about the environment. But they have gone overboard, and in a lot of ways, it's just a political instrument to try to control things. We've seen evidence of some of the fallacies in the policy. California is a prime example of where their costs are some 55% higher than the national average, and they have rolling brownouts. And they've tried to change and direct their policy to renewables, which are a supplement. They're not a replacement, and they have unreliability factors, and that's caused these rolling brownouts.
Well, and that really affects people's prosperity. If you're having rolling brownouts, your computer doesn't work. You probably have charged it up, but then once the battery's gone, that doesn't work. You can't do all the things, the kind of the modern conveniences that we have. I remember I had an electricity outage at my house, and I couldn't get the garage door open. All of a sudden, you can't do anything when you don't have reliable energy.
Well, the other factor is that it really affects lower-income people. And it affects them in sometimes devastating ways. So depending where you are, is cold weather. If you can't heat your home, if you can't afford gasoline to get to work, there's a number of factors that it just we're creating these costs that are unnecessary, and it really affects those people who can least afford it the worst. And that's a shame. We need to have a direction towards low-cost clean energy, and we don't have that. We're going towards more just higher-cost, unreliable energy, and it's bad policy.
And Bob, I think about, you mentioned people on the lower end of the economic ladder who they want to move higher on that economic ladder. And let's just think about your fuel costs. So a mom, let's say it's a single mom, having her own vehicle, and I talked to Randall O'Toole about this, having her own vehicle frees her up to be able to have different employment choices, to have different options for her kids if she has that personal vehicle. And then when we've seen gas prices here in Colorado, I mean, they're up close to 50%, Bob. That affects her directly. And I think it's so uncompassionate to try to take away her choice on her freedom of mobility, because it takes away the freedom of her to seek her own economic prosperity, Bob.
Well, that's true. And I think if you look at the cost of a gallon of gasoline, a very significant portion of it is taxes. And that's one of the ways that they've tried to control the consumption of fuels is by higher taxes. And that hurts the people, the moms, the working moms and others the most, simply because that's a big component of their income is going towards fuel costs.
Well, and then additional fuel costs also to get products to market. That has to be passed on to the consumer. So again, that young family or that single mom, this hurts people that are trying to get up the economic ladder the most, I think. And you mentioned taxes on fuel, and we've got this big, humongous transportation bill that's working its way through the Colorado State Legislature, 260, and it has a big tax on there at the fuel pump for both diesel and for gas, but they're calling it a fee, not a tax, because they don't want to have the courtesy of asking us if that's okay. Have you taken a look at that bill at all, Bob?
I have not looked at that bill yet. We're looking at some others. The irony of it is, if you look at the proposals across the spectrum on increasing taxes, they're unnecessary at this time. The federal government has put some, I think it was almost $3 billion into the Colorado economy. And why would we want to increase taxes if they're not necessary to support programs for the betterment of the Colorado community? In many ways, it's just a movement, again, for the government to have more control over people's lives. And I think Americans don't like that. They enjoy the liberty and freedom, no matter what their economic position is in life. They value freedom. And I think the more that these taxes are imposed on people, the more that government comes into control of the economy, more people will resist these higher taxes.
Bob, we've got just a couple of minutes left. And I think one of the gifts that we have right now is we're actually seeing a comparison in policy from the last administration to this administration and how that really affects people. Under the Trump administration, everyday people had $10,000 more in their pocket because of reducing rules and regulations and taxes. And what do you see, kind of what's your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today? Because I think that the veil is off. People are starting to realize that these policies are being put in by these government, officials, but these PBIs. And that I think people are starting to wake up to that. What's your final thought on that, Bob Boswell?
I think if you look at under the Trump administration, that the economy grew. And it grew through increasing jobs and wages. And that was important to the people of this country. If you're looking at what's happening right now with some $6 trillion government proposals, that's not creating wealth. It's not creating jobs. It's creating subsidies to people, and it's keeping people from working. And it eventually is going to result in high inflation. You're seeing it in gasoline. You're seeing it in other walks of life, other costs. So it's a kind of a false economy, because while people are maybe getting money from the government, gives the government more control, the prices of their products are going up. So at the end, since there's not a real growth in the economy, there's from these subsidies, it works against people.
Well, and I was, as you're talking about that, Bob, the word sustainability is something that the radical progressive activist left uses all the time. But these policies that they're putting in place are not sustainable. And we have a responsibility to make sure we're responsible to our fellow citizens now, but also to the next generation. It's really immoral to pass on this huge debt to the next generation when they haven't even had any say in it. Your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Bob Boswell.
Well, I think it's important that people recognize there's consequences to elections, and it's reflected in the policies. We've seen this last election and the first 100 days of policies where we've got different crises created both domestically and internationally through bad policy. And it's important that in this next election that we elect officials that recognize the value of the American way and are looking at growing the economy through investment, not through subsidies.
Most definitely. Well said. Bob Boswell, thank you so much, and thank you for being a partner of the Kim Munson Show.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is Oliver Ellsworth. He said, "Legislatures have no right to set up an inquisition and examine into the private opinions of men. Test laws are useless and ineffectual, unjust, and tyrannical." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.